Today's shir is Masechta Nazir Daf Samachay. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Dalar Mabez at the bottom of the Amid. The subject of our Mishnah and our shir is if somebody finds a nifter buried, under what circumstances may he remove that nifter and exhume the body? And it depends if we could determine that the nifter was buried there deliberately, that the nifter is a Ben Yisrael. Otherwise, we would be able to maybe move him. The reason, explained the Rishonim, this Mishnah belongs in our Masechta, is because as we've been learning over and over again, they were careful to make sure that the roads were tahar, because Nazirim should be able to walk on those roads. So what they did was, they constantly examine the roads, if the roads are free of any niftarim. And by examining the roads, if the roads are free of any niftarim, they can make a determination if a nazir could walk on that road or not walk on that road. Of course, under normal circumstances, the halach is quite strict, as the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, teaches us that one, under normal circumstances, should not remove a body from where it is buried. There are many reasons given by the Rishonim and the Achronim for this. One reason is because Nivel Hames, by removing a mace from where he or she is buried, it causes Nivel, it causes that it should not be in the same level of respect, and there's a very serious Isser of Nivel Hames. Another explanation is that by moving the nifter, it causes the nifter to be concerned that they're taking him for judgment again. Another explains the Sefer Kesher Chaim, when there is no concern for nivel ames, the actual removal of a mace is considered a bezoyin to the mace. Another pshat is that there's a mitzvah, says Rav Moshe in the Tshuvas, every day, to bury a nifter. And when one unburies the nifter, he's being mevatel the mitzvah that the Torah told us that we have to keep the mace buried. So our Mishnah discusses under what circumstances, even though, as we just learned, one should try to avoid moving a nifter, the halacha is more lenient and allows us to move a nifter. So says the Mishnah, moitzim mace betchila. If somebody finds a nifter buried on the road, and the definition of the word betchila is, Tosfos explains, that we weren't aware that there was anybody buried here, and now we discovered that there's somebody is buried there, and the Mishnah teaches us that under certain circumstances, we could move it. Another pshat is that Hamotzi Meis is talking about we don't have two niftarim buried here beforehand. And because we don't have any two niftarim buried here beforehand, this is the first nifter that we find him here. So what's the halacha? So since we only have one nifter, the halacha is mushkev kedarkoi. If he's buried in the way Jews are normally buried, head, front, so since we don't know that we have a nifter buried here, the halacha is that we can remove him, but when we remove him, we have to remove him, the body, and all the soft earth that's near that nifter. And besides moving him and the soft earth that's there, the three tfachim below that are also, three etzbas belowhand are also carried along. The Yerushalmi explains why is there halacha of tfusasai? Because they are body liquids that leave the body of the nifter. And since they are body lifters, those liquids have to go along with the nifter. The Ritva says a different explanation. The Ritva says that it's a halacha of kavod ames. Kavod ames requires that not only do we take the nifter, but we also take the tfusa of the nifter. There is an interesting tshuva in the Shas of Tshuvas, Sridei Eish, Chelek Bei Simen Kuf. He has a long kuntris about removal of neftarim, reburial of neftarim, and he says that the halach is that the din of tfusa, according to some achronim, may not apply b'zman hazeh. And he explains, because according to the Rambam, the reason that there is a halach of tfusa, he explains, is because Chazal were concerned about the tara of the makam. If we're removing a nifter and we're going to use that place to allow people who are tohor and want to remain tohor, as we began our shir, we spoke about the nazir who has to be careful to only walk in a place that's tohor. We want to make sure that any remnants, as the Yerushalmi just mentioned, of the nifter are removed. And therefore, says the Sri Deish, because b'zman hazeh we don't have such a consideration, there is no rule of tfusa, there is no rule of tahara b'zman hazeh, then therefore he says, he suggests that maybe the halach of tfusa, of removing a nifter, wouldn't be relevant. So again, hamaytzi meis b'tchila, if somebody finds a nifter mushk of kedarkoi, buried the way Jews are normally buried, you could remove it, remove that nefter, noit leves tfusosoi, you can remove him, but you have to take the tfusa along. Shnayim, if there are two people buried that way, noit leves tfusosoi, you can remove them and take the tfusa along. But, matzah shleisha, if you find three people buried that way, im yesh bein zel abba amas, if there's distance between the two neftarim, between 4 and 8 amas, that is an indication, hareza shkunas kavaros, that's an indication that it's a cemetery. And the halacha is that once it's a cemetery, the halacha is that people who were buried there with a deliberate decision to remove them. And therefore the halacha is that one may not remove those neftarim. Says the Mishnah, by the Kemena, if you find three people buried there, the halach is by the Kemena l'halan asra amma. We have to be baidik up to 20 amma from where there are people buried there to see if there are more niftarim buried there. The Rishonim discuss how do we do this examination. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that we have to test the entire circumference of the nifter. And the entire circumference of the nifter has to be checked that there are no other bodies buried there. Of course, the Rashbam and the Baal Tanura make the point that once we are able to see that there's land that was clearly not touched, if it's clearly obvious that there's land that wasn't touched, then the halach is you don't have to examine any further because it's clearly an indication that there's nobody there. But within the 20 amas, or even at the 20th amma, they found another nifter. You have to continue examining. By the Himenu Lahalan, we have to keep on examining for another 20 amas. Because in these cases, there's reglaim ledover. There's reason to believe that there are more niftarim there. Shilat cholam ma'itzai, but says the Mishnah, if we had only found one grave before we found the Shechunas HaKvaris. So before we found the Shechunas HaKvaris, the Mishnah taught us at the beginning of the Mishnah that it's adequate noit leves tfusasai. It's enough to take the nift and the tfusa. But that's only in a situation where we had not yet identified three niftarim. But once we identified three niftarim, then we have to consider the Shechunas HaKvaris. Our Mishnah just taught us a halacha that once we have three kvarim, that's a proof that there's somebody, that this is a shchunas akvaris. And therefore we have to be concerned that it's a full-fledged cemetery. The question that comes up as connected to this question is that the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei Simen Reish Ayin Tes Sif Gimel says that let's say there's a Sefer Torah that was found with three mistakes in it. The halach is that since we found three mistakes in the Sefer Torah, that's a proof that there's a problem, so to speak, with the Sefer Torah. and we have to review the entire Sefer Torah. But explain the Achronim, even though this Sefer Torah was originally Czech, the halach is the fact that we find three mistakes is an indication that there's a problem with the Sefer Torah. There are, however, Achronim that disagree, and they say that it depends what the circumstances were. If the circumstances were that the person who checked the Sefer Torah has already developed some sort of a issue that people find problems with the Sefer Torah that he checked, so now we find that three mistakes, we have to check the entire Sefer Torah. But if we find that this person who checked the Sefer Torah under normal circumstances is an expert and he knows what he's doing, the fact that three mistakes were found, then the halacha is we don't necessarily establish that this is a proof that there's a problem with the Sefer Torah. There's interesting shaila similarly, where a person on three different Yom Kippurim got sick and weren't able to fast. What would be the halacha? Can they continue even attempt to fast on Yom Kippur? And the Masham and the Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan both take the same approach. Their approach is that if there are three different reasons why on these three different Yom Kippurs the person wasn't able to fast, we don't just establish and we don't just say that there's a chazaka because something happened three times. The only time that we could establish a chazaka is if the circumstances were identical. But if the circumstances are not identical, then we don't establish chazaka. And one of the rayas is our Gemara. Our Gemara says that we found three niftarim buried in the same area. So since we found three niftarim buried in the same area, that's a raya that is a basic kvaris. But if it's three different situations that cause that this person should not be able to fast, that we don't establish a chazaka. And this question is relevant. We've learned the halacha is that if a woman was married a number of times and her husbands keep on passing away, again, there are very many rules attached to this halacha. It has to be that the husbands were not that old and there wasn't a time of war. The woman is considered a katlonis, and she can't get married again. But the Paiskim say, there are some Paiskim that suggest that if this woman's husbands were nifter for different reasons, one was old and one got sick, whatever, we don't establish that this woman is a katlonis. Another point to be made, we only establish a chazaka when there's good reason to establish a chazaka. I saw an interesting shaila from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita in the Sefer Chashuki Chemed, where there was a person, there's a shatchan, a matchmaker, who read somebody, who mentioned somebody, a very nice shidduch. But this person is concerned to get involved with the shidduch that's being mentioned by this individual, because the last three shidduchim that this shatchan mentioned ended in divorce. And the question is, does that mean that one should avoid using the shatchan? And he says that when people get divorced, three different couples unfortunately got divorced, doesn't have any connection. The fact that one got divorced has no relation with the other one getting divorced. Every couple who unfortunately got divorced, there was a separate reason and a separate circumstance that caused them to get divorced. And we can't just establish that it must be that this shatchan, when they read a shidduch, means that the couple is going to get divorced. And because we can't have that type of a consideration, we don't have to take a strict approach and say that this person should avoid shidduchim read by this shatchan. Begins the Gemara, Amrav Yehuda. The Mishnah began with the words, Matzah meis moshkev kedarkai. Says the Gemara, Amrav Yehuda, Matzah. When the Mishnah uses the word matzah, it means prat lematzui. The definition of prat lematzui is a machloikus rishonim. Rashi explains that if we have a situation that one person we were aware was buried in that place, but there were all, the other two we weren't aware, that is not that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is only talking about, says Rashi, when we found three people that we know were buried there, or three people that weren't, that we didn't know were buried there. But if all three people are not the same circumstance, that's not when we'll have a shchunas hakvaris. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos' approach is that as long as we know that one person that was buried there deliberately, then the halacha is that we cannot, then we have to already consider that area as a shchunas kvaris. Another pshat that the Rambam suggests is that the halacha of our Mishnah is only applying, only applicable when the person was buried there. But let's say the person whom we find there is found not buried. We just find him, Rachman Otzlan, laying on the road. The fact that we find him laying on the road is clearly an indication that this is not a usual, a normal situation. Niftarim are not typically found just laying on the road. And since Niftarim are not found just laying on the road, the halacha is we could be more lenient and that the halacha of the Mishnah would not be applicable. So again, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Matzah Prat L'Matzui, Meis Prat L'Horug. If the person that we found buried there was obviously murdered, then the halacha is we could remove him. Not only could we remove him, the halacha is we don't have to take all of the earth with him. And the halacha is that even if we find three people like this, it's not going to be considered a Beis HaKfaris. Because if we find a person buried, a person buried there, then that was murdered, the halacha is a person who's murdered is buried where he's murdered. And therefore, it's not an indication that this is a Beis HaKfaris. Other Rishonim explain that the halacha of Tfusa and Shchunas HaKfaris is only applicable when the mace is whole. But a mace that was murdered is not whole, because obviously some blood exited his body by the time he was murdered. And therefore, the halacha of Tfusa and Shchunas HaKfaris is only applicable when we have a whole mace. Here we don't have a whole mace, we don't have to be concerned. Furthermore, says the Gemara Mushkov, that the mace is lying down, Prat L'Yoshev, because if he's not laying, he's sitting, Jewish people are not buried that way. And the fact that he's buried that way is an indication that he's not Jewish, and therefore it's not considered Beis HaKfaris, and all the halachas that we're learning aren't going to be applicable. Kedarkoi, and therefore the same halacha would be if he was buried not in the way Jewish people are normally buried. If he's buried in a way that his head is between his legs, that is not the normal way how Jewish people are buried. And again, we don't have to be concerned that he's Jewish and it's not considered a basic farce. Tani ula bachanina, mei shechaser, if we see part of the body of the nifter is not there, ein lo tfusa, the halacha of tfusa wouldn't be applicable, v'lo shchunas kfaris, and the halacha of shchunas kfaris would not be applicable, because these halachas are only applicable by a person who is whole, but a nifter who's not whole, then it's not considered halacha, it's not considered shchunas kfaris. And Tosfos explains because all of the halacha of shchunas kfaris and a tfusa are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai says that under these circumstances, it's not considered shchunas kfaris, it's not considered tfusa. Ask the Gemara, call Hani my tamaloi. All of these various people that we just identified, we don't have to treat as a shchunas kfaris, as tfusa. Why not? As we explained, Aminan, we are able to suggest, he must be non-Jewish, because Jewish people, as we keep on repeating, are not buried that way. Another halacha, Motzei Shnayim, if you find two Neftarim, Rosh Shazeh Barat Tzad Magalos of Shazeh, Rosh Shazeh Tzad Magalos of Shazeh, that the head is by the feet, they're buried in a row of head next to feet. Again, Ein Lahem Tfusa, the halacha of Tfusa won't apply, V'loi Shchunas Kvaris, and the halacha of Shchunas Kvaris won't apply, because as we keep on repeating, that's not the way Jewish people are buried, and we don't have to be worried. Matzah Shloisha, if you find three Neftarim, Ha'achad Yedua, one was known that he was buried here, V'shnayim Tchila, but two others we were not aware were buried here, we just found them now. Oy Echad Tchila, we didn't know about one of these people who are buried, at Shnayim Yeduim, but two we were aware. Yesh lem tfusa, the halacha of tfusa will apply. Vein lem shchunas kfaris, but they won't be considered a shchunas kfaris unless we know all three were buried there. That's the girsa of the Rosh. There are other that have a different girsa that not only won't shchunas kfaris apply, but even the din of tfusa won't apply. And here too, Tosfos says that the reason is that it's a halach that all these halachas we're learning are halach l'mashe m'sinai, and the halach l'mashe m'sinai says that under these circumstances we need not be concerned. The Tosfos, however, quotes the Ri that the fact that not all three people are in the same status, that is a proof that it wasn't a cemetery. Because if it was a cemetery, then all three were either known, or if it was a cemetery that was forgotten, all three should not be known. The fact that they're not all the same is an indication that it's not considered a full-fledged cemetery. And that might be these two explanations that we just gave might be the basis of the machloikis. Does it have a din of tfusa or not? Says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. And there was a fact. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yosheva, there was an episode of Rabbi Yosheva, Shabbadak, he examined an area, and he found that two of the Neftarim were known to be buried there, and one was not known about previously. And he wanted to make this area into Shchunas Kvaris. Everything that you're trying to accomplish, Lurik Yugata, is for naught. The halacha of Shchunas Kvaris only applies Ela L'Shloisha Yiduim, if all three were known previously to be buried there, or Shlosh Tchilo, all three were not known to be buried there. But if you don't have the same on all three, then it's not going to be considered Shchunas Kvaris. We learned furthermore that if somebody finds a Nifter and he's taking out the body, Noitlamas Tfunasai, ask the Gemara, Heichidam Tfusa, where in the Torah do we find the Parsha Tfusa? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Makra, Yaakov Avinu tells his children that when he passes away, he tells Yosef, Nususanim Mitzrayim, when I leave Mitzrayim, take for me even the part of Mitzrayim that I was buried with. So the Chidah and many other Mefarshim ask the question that actually that Yaakov Avinu was not buried in Mitzrayim. So since Yaakov Avinu was not buried in Mitzrayim, how can we learn from Yaakov Avinu that we take the Tfusa? So the Chidah brings a beautiful pshat. He says in the name of Rav Gershon Kitover, who was a brother-in-law of the Baal Shem Tov. He says that the reason Yaakov Avinu was so concerned that they should take along that he should be buried immediately, the question that comes up, he explains, is why was Yaakov Avinu so concerned that he should be removed right away from Mitzrayim? Why did he not allow them to keep him buried in Mitzrayim temporarily? So he explains, because since Yaakov Avinu was aware of Ava Halacha, that the Gemara is saying, that when you dig up a Nifter, not only do you have to take him, but you have to take the entire Tfusa, so Yaakov Avinu did not want to remain buried for the rest of his existence with the Tfusa Mitzrayim, with this earth from Mitzrayim. So that's why Yaakov Avinu told them, Unususanim Mitzrayim, bury me, remove me from Mitzrayim immediately. Don't leave me in Mitzrayim even for the shortest amount of time. Because if you're going to leave me in Mitzrayim even for a short amount of time, and then you're going to take me out, you're going to have to take along the Tfusa. And Yaakov Avinu did not want that any part of Mitzrayim should be buried with him permanently. The Kamashit Tfusa. What is the Tfusa? How much is the Tfusa that a Nifter has to be taken up with? It says the Gemara Pirish Rabbi Lazar, Neitel Ofet Tichuach. All of the soft earth around the Nifter is taken. And then on the earth that is not, that is still hard, the Aloch is, we go three tfachim deeper into the ground, and that three etzpas deep into the ground to take it along. And as we explained, one reason is because of the liquids that enter the body, that's the Yerushalmi, or the Ritva explains, that's the Kavod HaMeis. Meis Vei asked the Gemara on what was just established as the Shir Tfusa. It says in the Braisa, V'kama Shir Tfusa, how much of the Tfusa appears Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadik, Noitlas HaKisman, you take the pieces of wood of the coffin in which the Nifter was buried, Ves Kisosois, any of the pieces of earth under the Nifter, Zoyrikus of Adon, anything that we know is from the coffin, or anything that we know did not absorb anything from the Nifter, Zorkin, could be discarded, or Menechus as Fakus, anything that we're not sure if it's part of the Nifter or was absorbed from the Nifter has to be taken. Vashar, what is certain that comes from the mace, Mitzdach Roy Binyana Shal Mace. We've learned early in Masechta that when we have Roy Binyana Shal Mace, we have Tumah, Tumas Oil, or when we have Roy Vatzomis, the Aloch is that the Roy Vatzomis also gives off Tumas Oil. All of the parts of the body of the Nifter have this Aloch, and also for the Aloch L'Malo Tavad Rekav, Aloch that we spoke about quite extensively. Also, the halacha is that the Malay Tavid Rekav, that we have a spoonful of the Nifter, the halacha is that that spoonful of dust of the Nifter that would decomposed also gives off Tuma. And all of these, anything that we know that comes along with the Nifter is going to have this halacha. The Rishonim ask a question. They ask a question that we learned that the halacha is that Malay Tavid Rekav only gives off Tumah when it's pure Nifter. But if it's not pure Nifter, if there are other extraneous materials mixed in, then the halacha Malay Tavid Rekav will not apply. And here it seems that you have part of the coffin and we're still saying Malay Tavid Rekav. And because of this question, the Miri says there's actually a Machlokes Brisis. And the previous Gemara we learned on Daf Nun Aleph indicates that the halacha Malay Tavid Rekav only applies by pure Rekav. Our Gemara will our Braisa disagrees. But the Taisva says that he doesn't want to make a machlokes. And Taisva says that the coffin that we're speaking about here is not a wood coffin. A wood coffin will also start decomposing and get mixed up with the Rekav, and therefore won't have Tumas Rekav. The Rekav we're speaking about here, suggests Tosfos, the coffin we're talking about here is a coffin made out of marble. And since it's a coffin made out of marble, it doesn't decompose, and therefore we can have Rekav. But we see from here that we only have to take what is part of the Nifter, or as a question is part of the Nifter. Not that you have to go three etzpas deep. How do we understand this in light of what we said before? Answers the Gemara, Hudama Kai Tana, Rabbi Lozman Badas holds like the following Tana, Tanya Vakama Shir Tfusa, what is the Shir Tfusa? Amar Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem Ben Azai, Noitlos Ofer Techuach, we take all the soft earth around the Nifter, V'choyfe V'tchila, Sholosh Etzpos. So he follows that opinion. And I saw the Sefer Sidri Tahara explains that the Machloikis is very much connected to what we've been learning throughout our shir. What is the reason for Tfusa? Is the reason for Tfusa because of Kavod of the Nifter? And if the reason for Tfusa is because of the Kavod of the Nifter, we only have to take what's around the Nifter. But if the concern, we only have to take, we have to take either three etzbas down, all to show covet for the nifter. But if the reason is because we're worried about parts, liquid from the body of the nifter that might have gotten absorbed into the ground, that's why we're going to have to take even three etzbas. We learned in the Mishnah further that when we find a nifter, then we have to check for the area for 20 amos around, because we have to see if there are any other niftarim there. Amar Rava, Bodak, Opina, if we found, if somebody checked his chatzar, and he found a person buried there, Opana, and Pina, and as soon as he finds that person, he removes that person, that body. Bodak, Opina, and then he did, it happened a second time. And Bodak, and he found a third person, Vashkach, and now he found the body again. Loi haimifani loi gaba hanach trei. We can't take the third body and put it next to the first two bodies. And no loi hanach trei loi gaba chai. We can't take the two bodies next to the first body. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, this will not be considered a shchunas akfaris. A shchunas akfaris is only in a situation when we have three bodies. At this point, we don't have three bodies that are buried there, and therefore it's not considered a shchunas akfaris. Ikad Amri, but there's a different version. Amar Rava, kivin shnet rishus lefanos. Once we can move them, because as we're moving them, there's no three bodies. Mafna lefan, we could keep on moving them, and we don't have to stop. Vilashvina shchunas akfaris, says the Gemara, but why is this not considered shchunas akfaris? At the end of the day, we've had three niftarim here. Answers the Gemara, Amrei Shlakish, where Shlakish establishes a very important principle. Ilu matzu v'tira tisrael, that even if we have good reason to assume that this area is a shchunas akfaris, we don't want to establish the area as a shchunas akfaris. What we want to do is that it should not be considered shchunas akfaris and not start being metama areas of etzisrael. Bardik me'esrim v'ama, says the Gemara further. We learned in the Mishnah, if you check for Mesim Am V'lay Motza, and you didn't find, what's the halacha? Amar Rav Nashia Bar Yimi Amar Rav. Then the three places, the three Niftam that we found, are Shchunas Kfaris, that are considered Shchunas Kfaris, but the area around, we don't have to be Machmer. And Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is, if can we remove the three niftarim if we don't find any more than the three niftarim? And we have a machlokes rishonim here. Some rishonim say that since we didn't find any more, it's clearly not a cemetery, and then you could remove even those three. Others explain that no, those three have to be remain there. But everything around that area, anything that it's around that area, we could be lenient. Our Mishnah now speaks about some of the halacha of Negoim. And since, as we've learned many times in our Masechta, there's a concept of Cheskes Tumah, or not having a Cheskes Tumah, that has very important ramification on halacha. So that's going to be part of what the discussion in this year is. When we speak about Negoim, the Torah, when it speaks about a Nega Adam, the Torah says that there are certain signs that show that the person is a Metzora. The halacha is that there has to be a discoloration on a discoloration, as we're going to learn, it's a certain size, and there has to also grow there two hairs. If the two hairs were there before the Nega, then it's not considered a Nega. And also, sometimes we'll have a nega that, as we just said, the shear of a nega is the size of a gress. And sometimes a person will have a nega and it's not the proper size. What's not clear to the kohen if this person is a metzora or not. And as we've learned many times, what happens then, the metzora becomes a metzora musgur. He's quarantined. And what the halacha is, that the kohen quarantines the nega and comes to examine it at the end of a week. If it shrunk, he's tahor. If it grew, he's tamei. And if it's not clear, or remained the same actually, then the halacha is, we wait another week. So says the Mishnah, kol safek negayim betchila. The person has a cheskes tahara, and we cannot be sure that he's tamei. So we follow, as we said in our introductory remarks, we follow the cheskes tahara and his tahor. Actually, in this with tuma, that if he hasn't been identified as somebody who's tamei, we are lenient. Mishiniska klatuma, but once, if the person has a cheskes tuma, and now we have a question. So since he already has a cheskes tuma, the halach is sveikoi tamei. We have to be machmer. Ask the Gemara, menani mili. How do we know that if a person has a cheskes tuma? A cheskes toma or a cheskes tahara, how do we know this is so, that this is what determines the halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, the Torah says regarding Tumas Negoim, letaroi or letamoi. When the Torah tells that the Kohen has a right to make the determination if the person is Torah or Tamei, why did the Torah say letaroi or letamoi? Why does the Torah say that we're lenient? Because to teach us the whole possible cause of a Torah Tchila, the halacha is that we can be makel. Ask the Gemara, if the Torah is telling us to always be lenient, even if it already has a cheskes tuma, the Torah instructed us to be makel. So the halacha should be, even then we should be makel. El kitman der Yehuda amarava ha'atma. The goes regarding the following issue, which we reflected upon when we began the sugya. The halacha isn't beheres kadon l'seir lovin, the first that had the discoloration and then two white hairs grow. The halacha is that that's a proof that he's tamei. Vem seir lovin kadon l'beheres, but if the two white hairs sprouted before the nega, then the person is tahor. If there's a suffix, what came first, the person is tamei. Rav Shua says kiha. But nobody understands, what does the meaning of the word kia mean? Amr of Yehuda, to which Rabbi Yehuda says, kia v'tohar. Kia means that we are lenient. But ask the Gemara, maybe what Rabbi Yeshua means to say with the word kia, which as we just said is a word that we don't really know what is the definition of that word. So maybe we should say that kia means that he's tamei. Maybe kia v'tamei. For this, says the Gemara, Am Rav Yehuda Amarav, Am Makra Latar Latamai. Rav Yeshua is basing his psak on what the Pasuk says. And the Pasuk is telling us, Tar Latamai, when we have of a person, we have a question, then, how will possible Tar Tchila, since the Torah teaches us that the person, that we have a question, we should be Tahar. And that's, and says, I saw a beautiful word. That if we have a person, and we don't know what's the story with that person, as long as that person is living a life and is associating with the right type of people, so we are lenient, and we assume that he continues to be a tahor. Only after we see that the person is associating with people with whom he should not be associating, that's when the Torah says we have to be more machmer, we have to be much more concerned. The Tarak Daisha speaks about Azov. And the halacha is of Azov as follows. Zov is a liquid that comes out of the person's body, which is similar to Shechva Zera, but it's not identical to Shechva Zera. A person who has Shechva Zera leave his body is a Balkeri. The halacha of a balkeri is that he goes to the mikvah and then he is tahor after Harav Shemesh. A zov, if had one riyah, has the same din as a balkeri. If he had two riyahs, then he becomes a zov. A zov is a much stricter type of a tumah than a balkeri. For two examples, one is that a zov in metama mishkav v'moishev. Whatever the Zov sits or lays on becomes Tamei. And this person who had two Riyas has to have Shiv in the Kiyam. If he has three Rias, all of the halachas that we just mentioned are applicable, and not only will he have to wait Shiva Nikiyim, 7 days that are clean, after those 7 days, he'll have to, on the eighth day, he has to bring a carbon. But what our Mishnah comes to teach us is that the halacha of somebody becoming a Zav is only if somebody became a Zav without any outside influences causing him to become a Zav. But if there was an outside influence that caused him to become a Zav, then he's not going to be considered a Zav. As we're going to learn in the Shir, we're going to see by which Rias is this halacha most applicable. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, B'shiva Drachim, there's 7 ways, there's 7 examinations that we have to do Baitkin as a Zav to check the Zav if he's a Zav. But all of these Bedikas are actually Niska Klaziva until he isn't established as a Zav. And therefore, before we, again, because as we keep on learning in our Shir, because he has a Cheskes Tahara, that's why we could continue treating him leniently, not as a Zav. But once he no longer has the Cheskes Tahara, then we treat him as a Zav. We treat him as a Zav, and we have to be Machmer. So before we discuss the 7 examinations, we need to know which of the Rias is this applicable. So all the Rishonim agree that the second Riyah of the Zav, these examinations that we're speaking about, is critical. And if the second Riyah of the Zav was caused by an outside influence, then the person will not be considered a Zav. The question that the Rishonim debate is, does this halacha apply also by the first Riyah? Or since we said in our introductory remarks that a person, as soon as they have one Riyah, is going to be Tomei anyway for a Balkeri. And by a Balkeri, he's Tomei without examination. All these factors are immaterial for a Balkeri. Or is this halacha only, so therefore maybe these examinations, these tests are unimportant? And similarly, the third Riyah, he's going to be a Zav for whatever the reason is. But again, everybody agrees that by the second Riyah, these examinations are critical. What an examination. Machla Mishta. So there's 2 ways that Rishonim explain Machla Mishta. Some Rishonim explain Machla Mishta that he ate certain foods, and certain foods cause Ziva. Other Rishonim say it's not that he ate certain foods. Overeating or overdrinking any food causes Ziva. B'masa, if he carried a heavy load, could cause Ziva. B'kfitza, if he jumped. B'chayli, if the person was sick, that could cause Ziva. Bemara. And here too, there are many different explanations of what is the definition of Bemara Behira. Some explain, first of all, the Mishnah Masechta Zavim explains that Mara and Hira are 2 separate things. Mara is sometimes you see something that causes the Ziva, and Hira is that you did not necessarily see anything, but you thought about something. The Rishonim also debate, what did he see and what did he think about? So the Rambam says that it's talking about a woman, that he saw a woman or he thought about a woman. Rashi seems to say that it doesn't have to be a woman. Even if he saw something that frightens him or he thought about something frightening, he won't be a Zav. However, Mishniska L'Ziva, if the person became a Zav, that means he had 2 Rias. And as we said in our introductory remarks, once somebody has 2 Rias, he's considered a Zav. He has to have Zayin Nikiyim. At that point, at Ein Boit can I say, we don't do any further examinations. And even Ointzai, if there was some outside influence that caused the Riyah, or Sveika, or there's a question, V'shichva Zaroi, and the question of Shichva Zaroi, Tameim, they're all going to be Tamei, as liquids that come out of a Zav, Shreglaim Ladova. Once he's been established as a Zav, then we can't be lenient. Hamakas Chaveri, says the Mishnah, another halacha. If somebody hit somebody else, Vamdua Lamisa, and the doctors establish that the wound that this person caused is such a wound that the victim will die, And then Hekel, Ramash Shahaya. And then Baruch Shem, he got better. And the doctors say he will be fine. Ulach came, and then after the doctors now say that Baruch Shem, he's all right, Hechpet Umeis, he gets sick again and he dies, Chayiv. Because we have to establish, we have to assume that even though he got better for a while, since he reverts back to where he was, what caused him, unfortunately, to die? The original wound. Nechemiah is leaning. Shiraglayim ledavar. The fact that he got better and now got worse, we can't be machmer on the person. We have reason to be lenient. And once we have reason to be lenient, we remain with that leniency. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah just taught us that once a person is established as a Zov, the halacha is that even if the third riyah that he has, we can attribute to an outside influence, it won't make a difference. Ask the Gemara anonymously, where do we notice halacha? Amar Rav Nasa Amakra, the Zov as Zov alazach in the Keva. The Pasuk says, Zov. What does the Pasuk have to say? Zova twice. What does it have to say? Zochel in the Keva. Riyah shlishis ikishl in the Keva. The third riyah of a man is like in the Keva. The halacha is, all these halachas that we're discussing about testing are only applicable by men. By women, a woman who has three riyas of dam, sees dam three times, becomes a zova no matter what. And the Torah is teaching us that the third riyah by a man is like the third riyah by a nekeva, and even if there are outside influences that caused it, it would make a difference. Ask the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Shlishis Bait Kenosai, that the third riyah we do examine, Revius, Bait Kenosai. The fourth one we don't check. So how do we reconcile what we just learned, and just learned as Pshat in our Mishnah, with what we learned here in the Brisa? Says the Gemara, Ela be'esem k'mefgi. There's a machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanon how to explain the word es. Rabbi Lezer darsh asim, Rabbanon loy darsh asim. Rabbi Lezer holds that even though the pasuk clearly is coming to teach us the halacha by a zocha from the keva, the question is how so. Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that since the Torah says the word es, it's as if the Torah says the word Zov three times. And only after the three Riyas are the halacha of a man and a woman the same. And therefore, the third Riyah of a Zov is not equivalent to the third Riyah of a Zova. And even the third Riyah of a Zov, he's only, if there was an outside influence that caused that Riyah, he will not be a Zov. The Chamim don't learn the word S, and therefore, they say it's as if the Torah only said the word Zov twice. And the Torah is teaching us that by the third Riyah of a Zov, he's compared to the Riyah of a Nekeva. And just like by the Riyah of a Nekeva, it doesn't make a difference if it was an outside influence that caused it, so too by a Zohar, it won't make a difference if it was if what caused the third Riyah. If he already had two Riyas, he's a full-fledged Zov, no matter what causes the third Riyah.